This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
What's up, my loves? It is Lala Kent. Happy hump day.
With Randall, happy day, period.
I know. Rand's feeling a little under the weather, but I think he can get through this, right?
Yeah, I just have a little head cold. I got tested for COVID twice, so we know I don't have COVID. So yeah, it's just a little sinus infection.
That was the first thing I asked.
When I
called him, I was at the Salt Lake City airport this morning and was like, do we have the vid? Because that's going to be an issue. I may just stay here. And he said he got tested twice, well, came back negative.
Well, I wouldn't have you come to the house if I had COVID, but I was on my second test at that point. So yeah, negative.
Love it. So I went to Utah for a few days. I got to introduce Ocean to some of my childhood friends that hadn't met her before. Ocean turned 6 months on September 15th.
Happy birthday to my baby. I know.
And to celebrate her, I went and got a little tattoo on my hand. My brother Easton said, you have way too many names and words on your arms. So instead of getting her name, I got a little tiny, the needle was like a size 3 for anybody who knows tattoos. That's like a very fine needle. And it's just like a little ocean wave.
Very cute.
The tribute. Very cute. So now I have your name tattooed on me and I have a wave for Ocean.
I love it. You got the whole fam on there.
I got the whole gang.
It's really, really nice. I'm glad you got that. I think she'll appreciate it when she's old enough to understand what that is.
I know. I tried to show it to her and she didn't give me like the goo goo gaga that I was hoping for. But then I remembered she's 6 months. So that reaction hopefully will come.
Yeah. So you were in Utah. Tell everybody, what was a typical day in Utah like?
A typical day in Utah is very chill. There's so many times
different than a typical day here in LA.
Very different from LA. When I got there, I was driving to my mom's house and I was like, you know what, there's so many times in the past year where I'm like, I gotta move back to Utah. Like, I've talked to you about it. I'm like, what are the chances that we do 50-50? Like, how can we get out of LA? And then I get there and I'm like, you know what, I think I'm good. I think I love it so much, but visits, I'm okay with.
It's like, I knew when you would say that shit, I was like, dude, I just let you rant because you're like an Energizer Bunny. If I just let you tire yourself out with your thought, you'll find your place back. But I the thing about Utah that's great is it's an hour and 25 minute flight. So you can literally go there on a Tuesday, come back on a Thursday and still have a great, like there's no exhaustion.
No, I literally got to the airport at 6:00. And I landed in LA at 8:15.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you went there for a weekend, you could fly back Monday and be here for work. So it's like, but it's like me. I'm the same. My love for Florida is the same as your love for Utah. But I don't need to be there full time.
No.
I like going there. I like being in the water. I love Florida. You know how much I love Florida. But I need to come home and be in my environment where, you know, this is like where I work. This is where our family is. So I think we're kind of people that get to a point sometimes where we're burnt out.
Mm-hmm.
We need to go retreat and then come back and like re-energize. But yeah, I don't see either one of us living ever full time
elsewhere. I agree. Ocean
was your mom brokenhearted that you broke her dreams of going back home to Salt Lake?
You know, I think she would have been if she wasn't here so much.
So
many people that I had like linked up with were like, how is your mom liking California? I'm like, she likes it there. Like, she enjoys it. What do you mean? They're like, so she's loving living in LA. I'm like, my mom doesn't live in LA. My mom lives here. I'm staying at her house.
Well, if you add up the room nights at Casa de Emma Lala, she's probably here 51%. So
Right. Yeah. Like, her doctors are here now. That's why she's here right now. She had to fly back for a doctor's appointment.
Your mother, if she didn't have a doctor's appointment, would sit in a chair to see a hamster in gardenia. Okay? Your mother would come up with something. So it's okay.
I'm glad
that I got her a good doctor, though, because health is wealth, you know?
Absolutely. So Ocean was amazing on the way there and amazing on the flight back.
Rock star.
And yeah. She's never slept better, Rand.
That's great.
And
I'm so happy.
I had this like pack and play Amazoned to my mom's house, and she slept like a champion. So if you remember last Christmas, we bought Riley a pack and play for her dolls. So I'm like, I'm not gonna buy a new pack and play. I'm gonna use Riley's for her dolls. And I'm literally setting it up in our bedroom.
Okay. So you're just robbing the other children's toys.
Well, no. I never would have taken the pack and play if Riley still played with it, but no, now she's in a new...
No, she doesn't care.
Right.
No, Riley's all weekend. We were teaching school.
Yes.
She was the principal. Then she was the student. Then I was the teacher. Then she got in trouble because she erased all the math problems I put on the board.
Yeah.
So I had to send her to the principal. So Riley's in... Oh, and by the way, Riley went to gymnastics Sunday with her best friend, and now she's in gymnastics. So yeah, Riley's moved on.
Riley's moved on, but let me say this about Riley. She's the golden child. Like, besides Ocean, because she's my biological kid, she's obviously my soulmate. But Riley's like my other soulmate, right? Like,
yeah.
A golden child. Even if she still played with that pack and play,
if I asked her for it,
I wouldn't steal it. But if I told her I ordered one, she would have said, you could have used mine. Because even... like, I'll talk about clothing for Ocean. Yeah. She'll say, if you ever need clothes for Ocean, you can use some of my doll's clothes. No, they don't wear them. She's like a giver.
She's a giver.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you something. You know, they're both like that now because they both asked about Ocean. London, my other golden child, asked about Ocean and said,
both golden children, but
no, but
London's in the phase where she wants nothing to do with either anything. Of us.
No, London's already checked out.
Yeah.
London's like, she's pledging a sorority right now.
Yeah, but, she's like, where's my phone? Where are my best friends?
But I'm going to tell you something really cute. When you were gone, because you were gone a week, and they obviously know when you're gone, they miss you. London said to me, she goes, when do you think Ocean's going to be back? Do you think I'll see her before I, you know, leave? And I'm like, oh my God. Like, because London had no interest. But for her to ask,
right.
It was like out of her way. So it was really, really nice. One last thing about children growing up. I went to the mall this weekend. Which you gotta understand, you know, because you've been in the mall 100 times with London and Riley and
right.
Ocean now. When London goes to the mall, it's like she's a Klingon usually. You know what I mean? Like, she doesn't leave my side.
Right.
New experience. You haven't experienced this yet. You're gonna love this. I walk into the mall her and her best friend wanted to go to the mall. Whatever. All of a sudden, I have these flashbacks to when I was like 12.
Right.
And I'm thinking, like, when I went to the mall, the last thing I wanted to do was hang out with my parents.
No, like take me there, you go somewhere else, and we're going to like roam.
But I wasn't ready for that. And
yeah.
So it was like this emotional moment, but it was like I got to the mall and I'm like, all right, because I think I have to entertain them because that's all I've known. And so I'm like, let's go. And they're like, no, we're going to go like over here. And I was
right.
like, whoa, wait a second. Is this that moment? Because nobody gives you the book,
no.
right? But you're good at that. You always say to me, you're like, babe, let them be, you know, let her be a preteen, let her be.
But I also don't have my own. Now I have my own children. So it's going to be very different. Me saying that to you is easy for me to say because I haven't experienced my own children growing up.
But you also help me because you're a girl and they're girls and you like went through this kind of.
Well, my dad did the same thing that you're doing.
Right.
They have dads have a hard time letting their girls grow up.
Hard.
The boy. Oh, baby.
So. I love you. So I went to the mall. It was just this big moment where like I walked into the mall and I walked up to them and I said, well, do you guys want to go to that store over there? And they're like,
we actually want to ditch you is what we're really wanting to do.
I swear to you, after I took them to lunch, I sat on a bench, a true story by myself. I sat on a bench in front of Sephora for an hour and 30 minutes. Like, what the fuck just
happened?
That's
so cute though, Rand.
It was really nice. And honestly, I went through all these emotions and I got emotional, but then I was like, you know what? This is so cool that my like oldest child now it can like go and happen. Cause she would come back, you know, cause they have their phones and I know where they are. And she would come back and she'd be like, okay, we went to the bookstore. We're going to go get ice cream now. And I was like, okay, here's the credit card. Bye. Like, it's so weird because going with Riley, right? You know, you can't.
She's leave seven. Her, right, no, she wants to, right. So two things with your story.
Yeah.
Number one, you're a fantastic dad. Thank I you. Love that you took them. I know it feels like, oh my gosh, she's growing up. But those moments that you're having with her, she's going to forever be your baby. Because that's how I was with my dad. My dad would like take me to the mall. And I'm sure he was like, I can't believe I'm taking my kid to the mall. And she's off with her friends. But that makes it so that your daughter, I'm just speaking from my own experience with my dad. Because I see a lot of you and my dad and vice versa.
Like you see daddy?
No, like I see because I grew up with an amazing dad, so I see qualities.
The same qualities. People who know that you have such an affinity and love for your father that for you to even say that I have any qualities like him is a complete compliment. So I know that.
Okay, good. I'm glad you know
that. Yes, I'm joking when I say
So that being said, she's going to always like be your baby.
Good.
Just because you're giving her those moments, right? Second of all, she and her best friend FaceTimed me about 67 times after the mall.
Oh, they did?
They showed me every performance that they had been working on. They wanted to see Ocean every 5 seconds. They sent pictures to me about my book. They saw my book at Barnes & Noble. I was like, oh God, please don't open it.
No, listen, they FaceTimed me for Barnes & Noble, which I was about 12 feet away.
Yeah.
And they showed Lala's books here. And I go, close the book and keep moving.
I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. Move along. Go to the nice section of the bookstore. And then they showed me all the clothes that you got for them.
Yes.
Yeah, like the bell bottoms.
No, I didn't even get those. She went with her best friend's mother.
Oh.
And they got those. And then I.
What a killer day. Weekend of just shopping and sleepovers.
They had the best time. Best time. And you know what? It was really nice. And Riley had her sleepovers. So it was really, really fun.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm so glad. It was like a few days of just like hanging out with kids.
Correct.
Love it. Love those days.
But I am glad my baby's back though. Both my babies, you and my little baby. When you drove in today in the house, I saw my little baby and she was, you know, in the car seat, obviously. And I was passing you and you rolled down the window and she was like staring out in space. And I go, because I was like, oh shit, did she forget my voice? And I was like, Ocean. And she's like, lit right up. And I'm like, oh, I miss
Every time you FaceTime, she was reaching for the phone.
She was?
Yeah. Cause I make sure that like, I don't FaceTime this way. So she's like looking at a phone case. I make sure she can see your face.
Oh, that's good. I didn't know.
Yes, of course. I got your back, boo. She knows exactly who you are. She's been listening to your voice since
she was in
the belly.
I know. But, you know, you've spent 5 days you getting child to
Well, it's so funny because when you leave us, you're like, bye, guys. I'm going out of town. But then when Ocean and I left you, you were a sobbing mess. I was like, what is this? Yes, you were.
I did not.
You cried.
I did.
I thought it was sexy. Why do you have to deny that you cried?
I didn't cry. I got
emotion. A bug in your eye. It was a windstorm. Didn't you see all that wind and dust?
In Bel Air.
Right.
I didn't. You know what's funny? I didn't know. It's not funny, but I just didn't know. It was the first time my baby. Like when I leave, I know my baby's in our house and she's calm.
Right.
And she's provided for and you're there. And, you know, I know like when I come back in a day or two, she's going to be right where I left her.
Right. Randall knows I don't leave the house when I'm in LA. He feels much more comfortable with that.
No,
it's getting not, on an airplane, not so much.
No, it's not that. It's just like, I know that when I get home, whatever time, she's going to be there waiting for me. Right.
Right.
So it was like, when you left, it was like the first time you left with her baby without me, you know, so it was like a big deal. And then I got like, you know, I got really emotional. So it was, but you know. Okay, moving on.
It was sweet. So today's going to be a lot of fun because we have Gigi Golnessa.
I love her.
Oh my gosh.
She's so fucking fun.
She is.
She's the Lala of Shaw's.
Oh my, that's such a compliment.
No, she actually, I think, I have to ask her, but at your beauty party, she came up to me and I was like, I know who you are. I've seen you. And she's like, I'm like the Lala. I think she said, I'm like the Lala. I said, you guys, when I watch the show, the similarities of the two of you of just being boss women who just don't put up with shit. You guys have such like a lot of similar qualities, like in terms of, you know.
I mean, I take that as a compliment. I hope she does as well. I'm really excited to talk to her. I have not finished this season of Shaw's, but it is fantastic. Rand and I are on episode like 8.
It's one of my favorite shows. It's been from the jump.
No, we love Shaws of Sunset. Anything that Bravo puts on TV, like I'm most likely going to watch.
I like that guy, Mike. He's fun as fuck. Like, he's just, he's like, just always, he doesn't put up with shit. He goes off on people, but then he's also like super sensitive. I like the Reza. Oh my God.
All of them.
They're like, and what's the woman's name who had the baby who you love? Who
you're friends MJ.
With? MJ, I
well,
love.
Well, you know, Gigi also has a baby. Yes. I think he's maybe 1.5, 2 years old.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to talk to her about that because she's doing it on her own. I just think she's a badass. She gives me great television to watch, which anyone who does that for me, I'm like, you rock my world. So she'll be up next.
Okay. By the way, you have a huge, huge fucking week next week. Because next week, after a 2-year hiatus, guess what's coming back?
Vanderpump Rules. Give it a good clap. Give it a good clap. Snaps all around.
So you are back. Your cast is back. Season fucking
9.
I don't know if it was 9 or 10.
No.
Season 9. I'm so excited for you. So today's Wednesday. The world premiere of season 9 is Tuesday. I am so excited.
September 28th.
The amount of tea that you're going to be, is it dropping or spilling?
Spilling tea.
The amount of tea that you're going to spill next Wednesday, I am clearing the fucking room for you.
Well, now all the podcasts that we do until the end of the season, the first segment of every show is going to be Vander Talk, obviously.
Not only that, we're going to be doing our mystery phoner every week, and it's going to always be somebody associated with the show. This is exciting.
It'll be really exciting. It'll be weird. And you know, people talk about it all the time about, okay, are we going to give it another chance? I hope that everybody gives it a chance because even though it looks different, our lives still are happening and there's a lot of stuff that is like pretty intense. And when I watched the trailer, the teaser, by the way, fantastically done.
I thought it was great.
I thought it was so great.
I thought you guys, because I was around a little bit. I got to tell you, they captured a small sample of what audiences are going to see. And boy, you guys really have a lot of drama.
Well, that was the thing is when I watched it, I was like, damn, that was like a really fun trailer.
It was
great. And they just give you like little tidbits of what's to come. But I'm telling you, the season is intense. We're not dealing with little petty shit.
No, you guys are pretty, you guys are in it to win it. You guys put it all out there. I got to tell you.
I like how you said that. We're in it to win it.
You're in it to win it.
I mean, however we want to look at it.
I got to tell you, the highlight, besides, of course, seeing you in the trailer.
Was.
That was a Jessica Kinsass moment. The highlight is when Ariana eats
falls.
It. Oh, my God. I fell out of my chair.
Stop.
I fell out of my chair.
I've watched that part probably 50 times.
Me too. It's hysterical.
And me and Easton, my little brother, watched it on repeat when I was in Utah because it's so funny when she's standing in our kitchen. Saying
that's
that
not
she
our
had
kitchen.
A, yes, when she says, I've had a really positive day, and then it flashes to her just bam.
Oh.
I don't know if her heel broke. Actually, I do know what happened because I was there. But the funniest is that you hear someone go, oh no. And her hair on top of her head. It's so funny. If you guys don't follow Ariana on TikTok, she made a video to it.
Oh, she did?
Yeah, I texted her and I was like, yo, you falling is the funniest shit I've ever seen. And she was like, I feel like it needs to be on TikTok. I said, you need to make that right now. So she made it with a hilarious song and it makes my day.
It makes my day. All I want to say is we are literally 6 days away from the season premiere of season 9. Everybody tune in to catch your Lala because she is back.
Vanderpump Rules airs Tuesday, September 28th, only on Bravo. We'll take a quick break and we will be back with Gigi from Shaws of Sunset.
So I have 2 game changers to share with you when it comes to upping your glam game. I am totally obsessed with Impress No Glue Manis and Impress Press-On False Eyelashes because I'm very into just easy right now. And anyone can do it. You are going to love them just as much as I do. Both require 0 glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes. There's also no annoying dry time. And the best part, 0 mess. 1 step and you're done. The lash style options are endless, and there are so many on-trend nails to choose from. Impress, no glue manis, and press-on falsies are the easiest and fastest way to upgrade your look in just minutes. The press-on falsies have a unique under-lash application for a totally seamless look and are made with an exclusive self-stick technology that keeps them secure for up to 24 hours. The Impress manis have a patented super hold adhesive for up to 7 days secure hold, and that's perfect for all of you busy mamas out there who don't have a lot of time to spend on glam but want to look your best. I completely get it. Impress no glue manis and Impress no glue press on falsies are absolutely a beauty must. You need to try them right now, so get yours today at impressbeauty.com/Lala. And use code LALA at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and press-on falsies. That's impressbeauty.com/LALA and use code LALA at checkout for 25% off. Here's what I love about doing a podcast. It doesn't really require any glam, like at all. I can podcast in comfort, and for me, that means wearing my new favorite super soft Quince cashmere tee. Thanks to Quince, I've got a lineup of timeless, comfortable pieces that keep me looking so chic summer after summer. Quince has premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts starting at $30. You can find silk tops, 14-karat jewelry, and so much more. And this is my favorite part. All Quince items are 50 to 80% less than many similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes all of those savings on to us. And don't get me started on their towels. I have the Quince waffle towels at the Palm Springs house. I have them in white, and they are so soft. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Lala for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Lala to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/Lala.
We are back with my spirit animal, Gigi.
I'm a spirit animal.
Yeah. Besides the Grinch. You're my other besides the Grinch. Yes, you're my spirit animal.
Hi.
You went from Loch Nessa to the voice of reason this season.
I did. And I don't know how I did it other than just a lot of good weed.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
A lot of good weed and maybe a kid.
Okay. And a child.
Right. That you may both, snap you back.
You both have that in common because you both are, you know, intense, strong, opinionated women. And now you're like kind of voice of reason.
Yeah, we'll see how it plays out. We just finished filming. This is the first season that I've had a kid. And I liked to think that I'm different this season.
Uh-huh.
More chill.
Uh-huh.
But who knows? When you watch yourself, it's like a mirror, you know? You're like, whoa, what happened?
I have to be honest. When you joined Vanderpump is when, no offense, because I, you know, I am kind of cool with certain people.
I don't get offended easily.
It was for when you joined is when it became interesting for me. No, I'm saying no offense to the other people.
I was like, that's the biggest compliment you could give me.
No, it became a little bit more interesting. You're a beautiful woman. And like he said, you're intelligent and you have that spicy, you know, opinionated, like I'm not going to take shit personality.
Thank you.
And I identified with that. So I would love to see how you are as a mom on the show now.
Well, I'm excited to also see it. But this season, who knows which way it'll go. We'll find out on the 28th. What was it like filming this past season? Because this was like the first, right? You hadn't filmed as a mama before.
No, this was the first time with Eli. We started when he was 5 months old.
Okay.
And it sucked because, as you know, COVID made everything a little different. And, you know, having a nurse at my house 3 times a week for testing everyone and random people would get COVID, it was inevitable. So it was just interesting. And I was not fully comfortable bringing Elijah out and about too much to scenes. I was like, okay, if you guys want to come every now and then to the house and just get glimpses of him, no problem. But that was it. And I just wanted to just do the Shaw's thing with that outside of my home.
Right.
You know.
I have to ask you, did you get any backlash for having a nanny?
Oh my God. You know what? I thought I was going to get backlash for using a sperm donor.
Okay.
I was praised for that. But I have backlash for being a single woman who happened to get a sperm donor to have a baby to get help. Like, right. What did they think I was? All of a sudden, the sperm donor came out of the tube and had arms and legs right. to cradle the baby? No.
Right.
Like, what the fuck? And I have an autoimmune disease. So it was, I get a lot of shit for it. But I think that the people who give you the most shit, unfortunately, were the ones who could not afford the help.
Okay.
And are a little upset that they couldn't afford the help. And to them, it was like, well, I did it on my own. Like, okay, but what if you had the means to not?
Right. Like, if you had an option.
Right.
But also,
totally.
But also, I think that people don't understand that you guys also work full time.
Right.
You all have businesses. You're running companies and building brands. And, you know, at the end of the day, we've had a lot of powerful women on this show. And they all have said, like, this is part of being able to have a successful brand
right.
or a company, you know? So
right.
I think it's like, I just think the hating in that world is just so unnecessary on every level.
I didn't realize mom shaming. I had heard that word, but I didn't think it existed until yeah. I had a baby. And it was like coming left and right at me.
Where do you get it the most? In which area of a mommyhood have you gotten the most shaming?
Well, there was a lot about having help.
Yeah.
Because... And it, definitely it's a luxury. I was able, yeah. because of my fiance, to have a night nurse. So I was getting a good night's sleep.
Save your...
Yes.
The best.
I think most women get, you know, postpartum depression because that time frame, as a woman, you need to sleep and heal.
Right.
You have to heal.
Agree.
Yes.
You have to. Oh, it is a luxury. You're right.
It's definitely a luxury. And, you know, fortunately and unfortunately, I have a partner who... also couldn't wake up and do that because he has a full, you know, right. he's got to be ready to go
right.
the next morning. So it was just like this battle of people coming for me for having help. A lot of help. And I'm like, am I a shitty mom? Because I'm really? Like asking for help.
She questioned it?
Kind of.
She quit every day really? in tears.
There's a lot of things really? I can shake off. That yeah. was a tough one.
But then you talked to a therapist and she also talked to a lot of other women.
Uh-huh.
And all the other women were like, listen, you have to embrace.
Yeah.
Like, this is the time to work. Like, this is the right. time if you're going to be out there. Because when they're 5, 6, 7, 4, they, you know, that's when they're like, mommy, they're asking, where are you going? Right? You know, why are you leaving the house? So I think you just, yeah.
Yeah, I'm shaking it off, but we'll see what happens once.
I'm kind of shocked that you would have taken that personally because it's I don't know. It's almost like, well, I don't give a fuck what people think about me personality, and you created this whole miracle on your own. I'm surprised you would give a fuck what anyone thinks.
I've been called every name in the book. So I'm, you know, used to all of that, but like the, you know, me becoming a mom is new territory.
Sensitive.
Very, you know, yeah. when sensitive questioning
you. You're very hormonal.
The hormones didn't help.
Oh, child. Fucking IVF.
What were you like?
Well, IVF was the hardest part when it came to my hormones. Literally, and I tell this story a million times, but it's just the most relevant. I was, you know, injecting 3 times a day of the hormones and all that stuff. And my mom came over to my house one day, and I'm watching Beyonce at Beychella.
Okay.
Right? And it's starting up, and my mom comes and sits down, and she goes, oh, is that Beyonce? I must have ripped her a new asshole. Because
wow.
She didn't realize that it was Beyonce. Why would she even fucking ask me if it's Beyonce?
Oh, yeah. That's the hormones.
I mean, I almost killed her.
She
and then
did that. She did shit like that to me every fucking day. Every day you did shit like
it's
that.
It's true.
Crazy. The hormones were nuts. But I am fortunate.
Because we're women. We're already hormonal. And then you're going through the IVF process where you're pumping yourself full of even more.
Pumping.
Is this every day you're super
yes.
hormonal?
You're, it was a lot of hormones for IVF. It was a lot of hormones.
How long did that process take before?
I went through it a couple times only because my first pregnancy was a random fluke and it turned ectopic and ruptured and I lost both my fallopian tubes.
Oh.
So 3 months later I was like, I don't give a fuck. I know I'm going to be a mom, so let's put that embryo back in me.
Wow.
So I went through it again. So I had to go through it again. It was just, you know, it was a lot.
Wow.
A lot. So God bless my night nurse because
oh my God.
Yeah, you deserve a night nurse.
Honey. Yeah.
So what was that process like? We know that you're very independent. You've spoken about how you're not into just having one partner.
Right.
You just feel like you're not built that way.
I'm not.
I respect it.
Mm-hmm.
So when did you say to yourself, I'm gonna have a baby, but I'm doing it on my own?
I think when I realized that I'm not good in relationships. I think when I realized that it's just not built for me.
How old were you? When you realized, like, when did it start sinking in? Like, this isn't for me.
I think probably two ex-boyfriends ago, or maybe an ex-husband and an ex-boyfriend ago. I mean, come on. I was married for 6 weeks. I literally woke up, and at week seven, I was like, this is...
Wait, hold on.
You felt trapped?
So you were married for 6 weeks. Explain to me, when you go into the marriage, because now I get a better sense of you.
Yeah.
When you go into the marriage, you're excited about it or weren't excited?
We were together for 3 months.
Were you excited then? No. It wasn't great.
No. So I always have that rush, that adrenaline we all get when we meet someone, the butterflies,
lust, the passion, the
infatuation.
The
totally.
Yeah.
And then when I conquer the mind, I'm over it.
Wow. Yeah.
As soon as that word, I think I love you. It's, like, I love you too, baby. I love you too. I gotta go.
Wait, now hold on. Has there ever been a man in your life that has been that much of a challenge for you that you didn't, or that you've conquered them all? Like, they always give in. Do they give in to the Gigi? It's like, is there ever one that
of course they give
away?
In because she's never available enough. So of course that's when they want you the most. I'm sure every single one is beating your door down because you're like, I'm not into this.
I don't believe in marriage. Okay.
That's fair.
I never have. The reason I got married was for, I was trying to help him out. He was in an issue.
Okay,
let's just leave it there.
Okay, he was
in an issue, needed some help. I got an amazing 6.5-carat, you know, stone to keep
the,
for that.
It was gorgeous.
So wow. Thank you, girl. Yeah. I kept that bitch.
As you should.
Okay. He took me to you know, literally almost 2 years to, he was trying to come for me, sue me, you know, for a divorce. Yes. He wanted the ring back. And I said, well, I found some information out about you. So no, it's okay.
No. I would not want to fuck with you.
No,
that's
like
a
either.
Big mistake.
Yeah.
Big mistake.
Big one.
Okay. So you basically set him straight and he goes on his way.
Yes. So 2 years of that shit. And I'm just realizing, you know what? I can't keep doing this to men.
Okay.
Because it was me. I led him on into that point. I got the previous one to that point, and then I just dropped them.
Wow.
So,
but I give you a lot of respect because the fact that you know this about yourself is like, listen, I'm just not in that space. And by the way, maybe 5 years from now you'll change, but today, and this is who you are.
It's today. And I've been reading about it once I started my podcast. I again, you know, we were just talking about this. I'm trying to keep my podcast controversial and talk about those things that a lot of people don't want to discuss.
I love that.
And polyamory is something I have been resonating with for a while now. And I've been reading extensively on it and trying to understand it. And because of COVID, I haven't been able to put it to fruition yet.
Right.
So I'm trying to find someone, and I've met someone just recently.
Oh,
and I've laid out the laws.
Hold on. Can you say how you met this person? Did you get on an app?
I met him through Reza.
Okay, but I have a great question for us.
Ask it, baby.
I have a great question. So let's pretend we're that guy, Lala and I. What is laying out the law? Because this
fuck
I want to hear.
Randall.
This is what I want to fucking hear.
I want to know too. I'm glad you asked.
I go to dinner with you, Gigi. We're at dinner. You're into me. I'm into you. And you say, this is the law. What is that? I'm dying to hear. Because this is great. This is
so
the 21st century.
When I can see that the emotions are there for both sides, when I could see I'm into the person and he's equally into me, I'm like, okay, well, maybe we need to have that conversation and I'll bring it in. It'll be like, so.
this is going to be amazing.
I always start with the so.
And then it's that, well, so most of the guys in my life right now, that my best friends, all my guy best friends, are typically my ex-boyfriends. And my exes stay in my life. And the reason they stay in my life is because I realize, you know, the relationship wasn't thing, but the friendships were great. And that's just sort of what I realized. I don't really want relationships as far as commitment. I just want the relationship.
Right, the companionship?
I want the companionship, the partnership.
Okay.
I want the homie, the ride or die. I want the intimacy.
Okay.
I want that part, but I'm not into poly for the sex. And I think people keep confusing polyamory with polygamy or just
not being able to keep it in your pants.
Yeah, I don't believe in cheating. I don't believe in people sleeping around. I don't ever want to be with someone who's just going to fuck every bitch, you know, that passes. I don't want Mike Shoehead, okay? Let's just...
Oh, wow.
Savage.
Okay.
So now, how does he react to this? Because you're very, very honest and straightforward. And that's, I think most men want a woman that will tell them how it is so that they don't get into something that they maybe thought was one thing.
Yeah.
So what, how does he respond to this when you tell him?
I'm fortunate that he's just coming out of a long okay. relationship. So he's on the same mindset that he's not ready to jump back into anything right now.
Wow.
But I also had to bring it up. I say, I've had these conversations with men before and they all promise me that they're not going to turn into that, but they do.
Right.
And they do because they see that I don't wither.
Right.
I don't alter my ways. I don't have the emotional thing. And they want to own me. They
right.
want to get it. And
yeah.
they end up getting hooked.
It's like a challenge. Men want a challenge.
Because you would think when you first present that, they're like, this is awesome.
Hell yeah. They're all like, fuck yeah.
Well, this is exactly what I've been looking for my whole life.
You get the beautiful
men
girl.
Men are very needy.
Yes.
People think that women are needy. No, we're just forward.
Yes.
About what we're looking for.
Yes.
Clearly, Gigi has been forward about what she wants. Dudes aren't like that. They just like think a different way.
Very simple minded.
It's not a productive way of
You guys know what you want, and that's it. There's no play this game, this
right.
and this and this. You know,
right.
that's why I always try to give my girlfriends game. I'm like, you want him? Then you know what? Go get your life over here together.
So right.
they're going to come after you.
100%.
When they see you don't give a fuck.
I love that you say that.
You know, and I think women are relying so much more and more on that man to make them a whole person or better. Gay, straight doesn't make a difference. Just looking for that significant other.
Right.
I agree.
And I'm not. And I'm very forward that I am whole, honey. I have my child on my own. I pay my bills on my own.
Right.
I don't,
you don't need
you to add.
You
can add to my spirituality, my energy,
right.
my happiness. Yes.
My mom always said, you don't want to find your other 50%. You
yeah.
want to find your 100% and someone else who has 100
mm-hmm.
so that instead of it being 50-50, it's
yeah.
a 200% type of thing
yeah.
because you got to be good with or without
right.
that person.
That's why I've never been heartbroken, because when I left a situation, I've always been whole, and I'm abnormally logical. So I think my logical
parts prevail.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
a little bit too much.
When's
like,
your birthday?
I'm working on that. I'm November 27th.
Is that a Sag?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a good one. Sages are good.
Yeah, but do you know, that's like very robotic almost. It's like a little, like so logical to
mm-hmm.
the thing of like analytical. But what I do like is that you're straightforward. So when somebody comes into your life,
mm-hmm.
they're hearing it. If they hear it, they have to accept it. If they don't want to accept it, then that's their own issue.
That's
it's
right.
like you've told them. So that's pretty, because very few women, I think, could say that, you know, in that way and really own it. So
well,
I'll give you a lot
because
of credit
we're
for that.
We're like born into this atmosphere of like what is right and normal and correct. And
yeah.
this path we're supposed
yeah.
to follow. And
yeah.
it's some of us don't want that cookie cutter life,
right?
You know,
I agree.
Absolutely.
So
I
respect it.
Thank you.
So you decide you're gonna have a baby
mm-hmm.
with or without a dude.
With or without. I don't
that's
need awesome. The dude.
That's,
I don't need the dude. And I did it.
Sometimes
I started literally shopping for sperm. You know, it's like a
wow.
like a Build-A-Bear workshop kind
it's
of store.
It's kind of fun, right?
What?
You see the faces? You see the
yes.
faces.
Yes.
You can like check out. I've
yes.
only seen movies. I think you're the first person that's actually talked about
it really?
In real life.
Yeah.
But wait a second.
So
I don't
you
even
get
understand.
To see...
I don't understand. So you look at the person and their
so I
genetic?
Hire a company. It's called a donor concierge. Now, there's different ways to go about it. You can go to your local sperm bank
right.
kind of concept or whatever. The company I hired is like a concierge company.
Okay.
They will do a 2-hour analysis on you, see what you're about, what you're looking for, all the details, and then they just set it out to all the banks in the nation and neighboring countries.
Like for
okay.
a match. Like for a match, basically. Is
right.
that the idea?
For
okay.
a match. It's like it's so difficult when you think you're doing this to create a child.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like a cute like dating site anymore. This is like your genetics and mind and everything. Thing, health,
I mean,
yeah.
everything.
Like they state their education and everything
yes.
like
oh,
that.
Oh, everything down to the grandparents, uncles, aunts,
okay, hold on,
everything.
Hold on. So what
the
is,
packet is like this thick. It's about 50 pages deep. And I told them one of my terms was I have to see photo. I can't take a one without a photo. Like I have. That was one of my.
Okay, so you
do
see
some
the photo?
Of them not send photos?
I think about 80 to 90% of donors don't really like to leave a photo.
Wow.
Really?
Most donors statistically are donating in college because they need the money.
Stop. Really?
It's like they get like if they have good sperm, they'll go from like $100 to $500 per
Hold on. I got to understand. This is so fascinating to me. So you get a picture.
Yes.
Do you meet the person or
no? It's strictly anonymous. So there's a lot of legal aspects.
So you don't even know the guy's name.
If they offer it.
Okay. What does the guy look like? What did he look like?
I can show you a picture of what he looks like. He's very good looking. He's probably a shade more tan than I am. As tan as your is gorgeous ass is right now, Ransel.
I love that.
I've been sick. Thank you. I've been sick. So
was it important for you to have your donor be Persian?
No, I didn't particularly want a Persian person.
Okay. Oh.
I wanted someone with darker skin and darker features because I wanted to make it as easy as possible for my child that's going to be a donor child. I wanted to make it a little bit easier to not be like, you don't look anything like your mom. Were you sure you're not adopted?
Right.
I don't want my child to deal with all that because it's going to be enough that they don't have a dad and Father's Day and all those kind of
things you're thinking about.
Yeah, wow. So I was just like, all right. But I didn't typically want a Persian person. So I found this guy. He's just perfect. He's tall. He's charming. He's amazing. And I have all the genetics to aunts and uncles. And, you know, parents are judges and attorneys.
And you want to know as he gets older, like the what health concerns do I need to be looking for? What allergies should I be looking for?
Exactly. So when I see that and I match my genetics to his genetics, and then we see, like, is this going to be a good mixture of chromosomes, genetics?
Wow.
And then, you know, we do the embryos. And then I waited for 10 days after we grew the embryo to test all my embryos.
Okay.
And I made sure to get, you know, the perfect score embryos to insert right back up.
Oh,
love it.
My,
you know?
This is amazing.
And did you care if it was boy, girl?
Not really. I wanted the healthiest. I knew that I wanted a child, and I was thinking that it's going to be super hard to have a boy without a male figure to teach him how to be a man. I was scared of that.
I could be completely off my rocker. I feel like it would be more of a challenge to raise a woman without a father.
That's what everyone told me. That's what everyone said. They're like, it's going to be harder to have a daughter without a father.
Yeah.
You know, the boy will end up raising you. He's going to be your protector.
You have a boy 100, or a girl?
A boy, Elijah.
Elijah, wow. Yeah. He's almost 17 months.
Boys all the time were always mama's boys, you know, and girls
right,
are
like,
daddy's girls.
Like,
so
boys,
I think it's like it works.
He's not going to be a mama's boy. Literally, like, we're at the park the other day, this person like looked at me and said something because he falls on the floor and he goes and I can tell he's okay, and I look at him, I go, get up.
Faker. He's
and
a faker.
And this guy goes, wow, you're a tough mom.
Wow.
But I'm like, he's a boy.
Yeah, right.
He needs to fall. He needs to go through these things, you know.
But let me say something. I think if your child, whether boy or girl, has the love that I know you give your child, honestly, and I really mean this, there are a lot of families that, you know, have two parents and they're very broken. I think when you have love coming from one parent or two parents of any type or sort, they're going to be just fine.
I agree with that.
You know, I don't worry about you at all.
Yeah.
I think that this child is very lucky to have you. As
Thank
mom.
You. Yeah. I appreciate
Seriously.
That.
Seriously.
Was the labor good? Like, what was your experience giving birth? I have to know now that I've given birth.
Did you do vaginal? Did you do vaginal?
Oh, did you do
vaginal?
I did too.
I did vaginal. Yeah. I wanted to do the whole vag experience. I wanted to as much as I could. I had to induce early because of my health and my medical condition. Not too early, like less than a month.
Okay.
Less than a month, but it was, my health was getting bad.
Okay.
So we had to get him out, to put him back on the chemo. So it was just, we came out, but it was literally the third or fourth week that the first quarantine hit.
Oh my God.
So they were saying going into birth, you have to go alone. And then like a week before, they changed it that you can have one person go.
You had your
you.
Sister, right?
I chose my sister because at that time they were saying it's an old person's disease and I didn't want my parents to come to the hospital.
Didn't
I'm
smart.
Like, what
them.
The fuck would happen?
That's smart.
So, they induced me at 1 a.m. At 8 a.m., they came in and they said, the baby's going to be coming soon. So
I just got chills.
Yeah, they just, I began the process. I'm like, okay, this isn't too bad. But then by like, you know, closer to 7 p.m., I was like,
you're like, when exactly is it coming?
Did you keep getting the bullet?
What is the bullet? That sounds
so
fun.
So you have your epidural.
Oh,
and
the
then
thing
if
you keep.
Yes, the anesthesiologist comes in and he hits you with a bullet.
Yeah, that
you can
fun.
Only have it every 30 to 45 minutes. And I'm like, bullet!
This one felt nothing.
No, I enjoyed. Can
nothing.
I tell you, I've never slept
nothing.
Better than.
After birth?
while I was in labor.
While you were in labor, you were sleeping?
Yeah, they induced me at 11 a.m. And I went, I was like, literally, they came in, they broke my water at probably 10 p.m.
Oh, they had to break your water.
They had to break my water. And then they said, we're going to change your sheets because there's a lot of water. And I was like, can you just leave it? I can't feel shit. And I'm like tired. I slept like a baby. By 6:45 a.m., she was born.
Oh, wow.
I was like, this is the best. Easy, I want to give birth every day.
Yeah.
I know. I got lucky.
Oh, you got lucky.
Not everyone has that experience.
Yeah, no. Mine wasn't too bad either. I was just, I didn't sleep too much. I was so excited. My sister was passed out. I'm like filming my sister snoring and sleeping right next to me. I'm like, no, I was excited to be there and to have a baby and just the whole concept was just cool.
She loved every second of it too.
And that's why I was so confused why I slept so well, because I'm like, you're having a baby. You would think that I wouldn't be able to sleep. Now, the night after I had her, like, there she is. Yeah. I couldn't sleep. Didn't want to miss anything, even though she wasn't doing anything. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back.
I have been very transparent with you guys about my hair struggles between the pregnancy hormones and bleaching it all the time. I have been having some serious hair issues. And now, with baby number two on the way, I'm already being proactive about my hair thanks to Nutrafol. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding. And I am definitely one of those people. Nutrafol supports healthy hair growth from within by targeting the root causes of thinning, which are stress, hormones, environment, nutrition, lifestyle, and metabolism. You can take the Nutrafol Hair Wellness Quiz on Nutrafol.com for a personalized hair health plan based on your specific root causes. Because I know we are all different and we're on different hair journeys. Nutrafol makes building a hair growth routine super easy. Purchase online, no prescription required. You get free shipping and automatic deliveries so that you never miss a day. And you'll see results in 3 to 6 months. So take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering Give Them Lala listeners $10 off your first month's subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter promo code Lala. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code Lala. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code Lala.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We're back with Gigi.
Hi.
Golnessa.
I love the way you say it. You say it so proper.
Do I?
You do. A lot of How people fuck I? It up.
Well, because you've said it so many times and I'm like, oh, I like that name.
Yeah.
So we spoke about your baby. Mm-hmm. He's 17 months. Mm-hmm. You're digging it all.
Mm-hmm.
You look at her face, and sometimes it gets rough. I know.
I feel like I don't know what's coming next. I'm getting nervous for what you're about to
say.
Well,
I just wanted to quickly ask, mm-hmm. because you have a Rottweiler.
Yes.
Did you get a lot of people talking about that? Like, how could you allow a Rottweiler around your baby?
Yeah, I get it. I still get it a lot on social media when I post pictures of Zsa Zsa.
Love that name, by the way.
Thank you. She's my little Zsa Zsa Gabor. She's Eastern European, big and just sexy.
She's sexy.
She's so sexy. She's a Rottweiler, and I think that society has placed these misconceptions on certain dogs, mm-hmm. that they're bad and they're dangerous. But you know, after so much research, I'm a research person. I'm a reader.
I'm getting that from
read.
You.
So they were rated amongst the top dog for children and families. So it was a no-brainer for me.
I love it. I was telling you, my mom has two pit bulls.
Yeah.
And obviously, I just know, like, an animal's an animal. Mm-hmm. And if my baby grabs a dog in any way, you know, like, they don't know.
Right.
So no matter what the dog, even my dog Lily, who's like a little mutt, I get nervous just in case.
Yeah.
But My mom's pits could not, pit bulls, not my mom's, yeah, pits.
My mom's funky pits.
My mom's pit bulls could not get enough of Ocean when we were in Utah. God. I mean, guarding her with all of their, I mean, they didn't give a damn about me. It was all about, like, how do we make sure that baby is okay? It Pipples was the sweetest thing.
Pipples love babies. They really do.
So, I love that you have your son.
I
with
do.
Your...
I get a lot of shit for it, but I don't really care. I got her specifically for the child. You know, I found a breeder that was just an amazing breeder. They didn't do interbreeding. They don't believe in cutting body parts of the dogs off. And so, you know, it's like she came all the way from Pennsylvania. But, I mean, she went through... great training before I got her with cats and kids because
she's
have cats.
A service animal, right?
She's my ears.
Okay.
She's my ears. She'll tell me. She. You know what? Now she doesn't do it anymore because I think my son does fake cry so much. But she used to notify me every time the baby would cry. She would come over to me and kind of like nudge me or just like put the paw up. Letting and it was know. Like, ma.
You right. Know,
like,
can you hear him?
Now it's like because my son Elijah is always like, yeah, randomly.
Right.
I think like Jaja just looks at him like, shut up, kid. Yeah.
Like you're just a faker.
Yeah.
Totally. So what was, I have to ask you, are you an MJ good?
I mean, yeah, it's, you know, I think where we left it at the reunion was I would be open to her efforts.
Okay.
And something has taken place recently, which put all that backwards for me, which I'm sure season 10 you'll see.
I love that we're getting a season 10. I've been obsessed with Shaw since you guys started, which I think I was like still living in Utah at the time. And I was like, I got to get to LA and I got to be friends with these fabulous Persians.
Yay. And we're finally friends.
You came to my Give Them Lala Beauty party.
It was amazing.
Thank you for, you're that like was a beautiful. Supportive friend.
It was really nice.
Well, thank you for coming.
Yeah. Reza and I had a blast.
Oh my God. You guys were so close.
And you guys are still close.
Oh my God. Reza and I are getting closer by the day. Yeah. Wow. Especially now that I just met someone through him. So it's kind of like.
Oh, that's cool. Now you guys all have like a foursome.
Yeah.
You're like couples. Let me ask you a question. The worst moment for you in all of the history of being on this show and the best moment of being on the show that you can remember?
Worst moment was when I tried to physically attack Reza and his husband Adam jumped in the way and I ended up gashing Adam very badly.
Wow.
And I love Adam to death, like to pieces. And I ended up hurting him because of my anger for his husband. And it was a big wake up call for me. I was going through a lot at that time. Right. So I immediately just checked myself into two different facilities.
I
did cognitive behavioral therapy and I did spiritual healing. So
that was my best and worst
because it grew me. I needed a moment and I grew and I came back this new Golnessa. That's where Loch Nessa died there.
Wow.
What season was that? Because I remember
that. That was, I think, season 5 or 6. That was when he was saying he was lying about having RA and going through chemo and all that stuff. And it was just, I was in so much physical pain at that time and I was drinking heavily and I was taking Oxy because the pain of my RA was so bad. And holy I was trying to deal with the concept that I have to start chemo now. And it's just the word didn't sit right with me.
Right. You were angry about it.
I was going through a lot. And then to come on and have to fight for what I'm going through on my show, it was tough.
Yeah.
It was tough.
That's always been something that has rubbed me the wrong way because there was also, so you went through that. And then Yolanda Hadid with her Lyme's disease, that was questioned.
She went through that.
It always bothers me when... Right. Like, I don't care how entertaining we're trying to make a show and how real life it is. I don't care if cameras are on or not. You're not questioning what I'm going through health-wise. If I tell you this is how I'm feeling, don't question me.
Right.
So that must, I'm sure you were very angry on top of all of the pain and then trying to like mask how you're feeling probably with the alcohol.
The alcohol definitely helped the pain and, you know, and helped me have fun because I was in so much pain, I couldn't have fun.
Right.
So, I'm glad I got through that.
I mean, you went through that too with the drinking.
But mine was more just like, mine was triggered by so many other things. Yes. I wasn't going through.
My drug use was based on that. My triggers of life and what I grew up with, you know, and I got clean and 2005 from drugs, but
that's a big deal.
It's almost it is 16 years that I quit drugs.
Good for you.
I did 120 days in rehab.
I did
a 7-day hospital detox.
What
full hospital, Brotman Hospital, and then I did 120 days.
What were you coming off of? Was it Oxy?
I was not doing pills at that time. It was just coke for me. I used to snort anything I could crush. I would snort it.
Wow.
Yeah, I was big on snorting ecstasy and coke.
Did you stay up for days and days?
No. It got to the point where I was just normal. And if I needed to eat a meal, I'd smoke a joint and eat. And then I'd do a couple more lines.
Wow. Yeah. You were like functioning.
Yeah, I was a functional addict. Yeah. My ex was a coke dealer. So I would literally, it was a bad situation. Yeah. It was a bad.
Yeah.
We all go through that shit.
By the way, she talks about it all the time, her drinking.
I do. I think it's important to talk about. And you know, there's some things that I wrote in my book where people, mm-hmm. like, it made a very interesting and funny headline.
Yeah.
But the reason I talk about those things is because, you know, people don't realize how bad things are when cameras are down, when you're by yourself, when no one's around. So for me, if I could help people who are battling the same thing and they're watching our lives from the outside, thinking that it looks
glamorous.
It looks glamorous. Fun. Let me tell you what it's really like when everyone goes to bed.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm very proud of you. That's amazing. I wasn't aware that you did that.
Thank you. I'm proud of you too, girl. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
I never talked about it. The one time I think I talked about it, I got shut down so fast because everyone was like, how can you say you got over using drugs if you drink alcohol? I was like, well, it's a lot of very different addictions that I had. But,
I
get it. I get it. I totally get it. But
if the drugs were, you know, the thing that brought you down and you stopped using drugs, then, you know, sometimes alcohol. I know that most addicts, you know, who recover say you got to stop everything. But, you know, listen.
You do. I mean, the big book definitely says that to stop everything, you know, because you don't want to pick up on other tendencies. But I started using at the age of 11.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you're born and raised in Los Angeles.
Born and raised here in LA, yeah.
At 11 years old.
I took my first bong rip when I was 11 and a half years old.
When did you do coke for the first time? When did you start doing the snorting?
Snorting was like 14, 15.
Wow. Oh, I was like coming off.
I was snorting
Barbie
white
dolls.
Out. When I was like 13, I'd be in school thinking it's cool. I would dry the white out and I would like snort it up in class. And I would think I needed help. And I was asking
you
every
asking
way I
it.
Could and no one was hearing it.
What school did you go to here?
I got kicked out of 10 schools, so.
Holy shit.
Okay. At least you have a background for your
child. I mean, every fucking school in LA, except where the Persians went. I never fucking went to the Persian school.
Where do the Persians go?
Beverly.
Oh, is that where they're
at? Of course.
I grew up in Palos Verdes, so I was like, I went to different schools everywhere, but.
You know, I have to say, what an inspiration to hear, you know, you talk about how you started smoking weed at 11, snorting at, you know, 15, kicked out of 10 schools, to being this, like, obviously you're very beautiful on the outside.
Thank you.
But to, like, really just embodying what a beautiful human is, going out and having a baby on your own, just being a badass bitch. Like, I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
That really is amazing and an inspiration to a lot of people. So thank you for opening up about that.
What are the other things that you work on outside of the show? Just, I'm curious.
Woosah.
Definitely my cannabis brand. I started with the CBD brand for Woosah, but then now, like, everybody's baby mamas, neighbors, cousins, something has a CBD line.
And so you were in it early, right? You were in it early.
Like, mine is my own stuff, and it was because of that. It was much more expensive. And when all this became mass-produced fake shit, they want to go for that. They don't want to go for the real stuff that's expensive. So I pulled out. I partnered up with some people, and now I'm going to launch the THC side of it.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it's where the market's at. It's where I'm at. It helps me with my nausea, throwing up all day, and inflammation. So,
and that's from RA.
That's from RA and the chemo. I inject myself once a week in the stomach with chemo, with the low doses of chemo, and then I sit in a chair for IV infusions once a month and receive medications.
And what does that help with, the injections?
My autoimmune disease.
And
is the disease?
What my issue is, I have an overactive immune system where my cells are attacking my body.
Okay.
They're attacking, this autoimmune attacks all my joints for some reason. That's why it's called rheumatoid arthritis.
Okay.
So right now, about 44 of my joints are under attack. I've had surgery, it's all that stuff, you know. So it's basically the medication comes in and suppresses that. So I'm on immunomodulators, which is what COVID sort of needs to not exist.
Right.
So I have a very low chance of getting COVID because of my high medications. I have like a 1% chance of getting COVID for that. But I can also, it's very risky for me to get vaccinated.
Wow.
So right now we're starting the program for me to get vaccinated, because what's going to happen is the vaccine, what it does is it overstimulates your immune system.
Wow.
I have a massively overly stimulated immune system and all my medications are suppressing it.
Okay.
So I have to come off my meds for some time, get the vaccine, stay off the meds, and that vaccine is now going to put me backwards with all of my health.
Wow.
So I've been dreading doing it, but now that LA is passing this new mandate that you have to be vaccinated for everything, that's it.
It's hard to yeah. do a lot
so
of
your body is basically attacking itself.
Oh yeah, my body's killing itself.
So
I just have to prevent it from killing me because if it hits my lungs or heart area, then the inflammation can kill you.
I have a question. How do people that have this? Do they live long lives? They just have to be on medication forever?
Hopefully, if you treat it. A lot of the times people will twin up with lupus and fibromyalgia. I can never fucking say this word.
Fibromyalgia.
How'd you say that?
I watch a lot of TV, so they have like the ads.
A lot of Grey's Anatomy?
The ads where they're like, if you're suffering from...
Wow, you remember?
I can never say it. So tell me this, because you said that after you got into it with Adam, also did spiritual things.
I did.
To get leveled up. And there's this thing that I've been into recently about trusting my body and me knowing like I believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's on my side. And I kind of say these things every day just for my own spirituality.
Right.
Do you find that it's hard to see yourself and go, how is this body attacking itself? Or
it
does
was
that
in
make
the beginning.
Sense?
That was the alcohol and oxy use.
Okay.
That was the me not understanding why I'm so young and I can't do what my friends can do, that I can't climb a staircase without feeling like I'm going to die.
Right.
Without, you know, opening a bottle of water, like Randall just opened his water bottle. I can't do it. I would have to do it with my teeth for a long time.
Holy shit.
So for me, being 20 something years old, getting
you
diagnosed,
can't process something
you
like
can't
that.
Process it. You don't process it well. So it took me a while to accept that this is it and this is the rest of my life and everyone has a flaw.
Yes.
And what am I going to do with this flaw? And when I put it on the show and I started talking about it and the outpour of people,
support.
Young people who were like, oh my God, it's okay to talk about, you know, being sick because she's pretty, she's got her life together and she's got this disease.
Right.
And, you know, maybe I can. It's just
inspiring.
Oh my God. No, it's been the best. It's been the best.
That's great. I'm glad that you talk about it because people need to hear that not everybody, people look really good in their box, but it's not true. And everybody's got their thing, whether it's that or law with drinking or
everybody has something.
I think it's important.
We all have issues.
As you have gotten older, I'm sure you look at it as like, this is not going to control my life.
Right.
This is a small piece of what I deal with, but I have so many other things.
Right.
To live for and go and do and be grateful for.
Right.
Do you find that you've...
Yeah. I mean, I think what you were saying a second ago about the haters of having help and stuff like that, it makes me... It's very hard for me. For those who have been following me for years and have been watching me, they've seen me go through this health process. They've seen me suffer. And those are the same people that are criticizing me for having help. You know, they don't understand. I can barely open a bottle of water without using my teeth. How do they think I'm going to hold a 35-pound boy that's trying to run everywhere? I can't. I physically can't.
Right.
You know, was I selfish to have a child knowing I have a disease? Maybe.
No, I disagree.
Maybe. You know, I don't know. You know, but I got set back because... My doctor said with that fluke of a pregnancy loss, they think everything, because I was in remission when I decided to go for pregnancy.
Oh, wow. Oh.
I was like, I got the clearance. I was good.
Yeah.
But with that loss, they think some shock happened to my body that my RA came back 10 times worse.
Oh, my
gosh. So I began sitting in the IV chair while I was pregnant. I was 6 months pregnant. I had to sit there. Like, imagine my belly's out to here and I'm sitting here. So that's what they said. So, we got to get the baby out.
Well, this child's got to be super special because the fact that you fought the fight that you fight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's going to be an amazing family.
It's just so.
Really, I mean that. I mean, that's
such a strange thing to your body.
It's
basically attacking itself. But then your body is sitting here creating what you can give me all the science in the world about how a baby's created. No, this is a fucking miracle. That's what it is.
It is.
Give me all your facts that you want. That's not how. That's a miracle.
It is.
So, you know, it's like you think about what you go through on the day to day with RA, but then you create this like beautiful, healthy baby. You know?
But when I think
I don't know. See, I don't get stoned, but I still have stoner thoughts.
No, it's not a stoner thought. No. That's a logical thought.
I like
thought.
Really go That's up into logical. The atmosphere.
But what I think is amazing is, first of all, having a baby is a feat in itself, but then doing it under the circumstances that you deal with is like, is real. That's a miracle.
What was that like being pregnant? Like, were you worried about his health going through, having to like still do your IVs and your injections?
I wasn't worried about his health too much until the high risk doctor was like, all right, we got to plan the induction kind of concept because the inflammation is rising in your body. But if you ask anyone who was around me on a day-to-day basis while I was pregnant, they would tell you I had the easiest pregnancy in the world.
Right.
Wow. So no one would have known anything was going on with me. Yeah. I smiled through it because
Did you
I was
feel
so
okay?
grateful.
Did you feel okay?
No nausea, no nothing. It was a blessing.
But having this issue, like, so you literally can't go out and play sports. You can't like
I can, but I'm gonna suffer from it for like a week or two. I'm gonna get swollen up, and you know, my things will happen. I'll flare up and I'll get out of breath. But right now, my doctor said, you know, you're starting to get better.
Well, that's
so
good.
He wants me to get into some sort of active work. Yeah. He's like, now that you can, time. So I'm thinking, you know, Pilates or swimming, something that's light on my joints.
Swimming's great.
So yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
She will not be playing pickleball with you, Randall.
I was just saying.
What is pickleball?
It's Randall's obsession.
Okay, you have to teach me.
Yeah, you come over to our house. We have pickleball court. Okay. Anytime.
You can play with me. I'm not.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like he goes hard in the paint.
I don't even know
pickleball.
It's like
between ping pong and tennis. It's like you play with a wiffle ball. It's like a hard racket. It's a smaller court.
Oh, that sounds
easy. You just hit it back and forth. But yeah, but it's easy. I mean, it's easy.
No, it is easy. That's what's great about it. Is like you don't have to be like super athletic.
Like
anybody can get the hang of it.
I'm already sweating just thinking about the game. Like I haven't
you gotta come over.
Worked
you gotta come
out
over.
In ages.
No, he walks in the house and he like wants to love on me, and I'm like, you gotta get away.
Sweaty.
I don't.
Sweaty from the pickle.
I get so offended. I'm like, give me a fucking hug. And she's like, you go take a shower.
Get the fuck away from me.
Get your pickle juice out of here, honey.
Get your pickle juice out of here. Gross. This was like probably one of my most favorite podcasts.
Yeah, this was awesome.
Like, you're so easy to talk to.
Oh, thank
I'm so
you.
Grateful that you were on Give Them Lala with Randall.
Thank you.
Let's have a play date with our kids.
Yes, please. And I'm bringing the nanny.
Yeah.
You and me both.
And I'm bringing the nanny.
Obviously.
Bitch.
We don't know any other way.
We don't go anywhere without her.
Exactly.
I love it. Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of Give Them Lala with Randall. We will catch you next week.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Guest star Sarah Carter as Alicia Baker. Although I didn't really work with her a lot. But Tom did, and they had some real big smoochy scenes.
Yeah. Should we talk about that?
Could there be any more sex? What was a 3-page makeout scene that just kept going? Good Lord. We get it. They have chemistry.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.